it was traditional for the presiding fra or sewer to deliver some remarks, so we came to a place in the aught when all of the avowed fell silent and turned their eyes to Fra Paflagon. This could have been awkward, since there was no avoiding the fact that the listeners would view his words not entirely in their own light, but as a counterbalance to what Magister Sark had said. I thought it good that Paflagon did not try to sneak around this.
"Since we pride ourselves on our dialogues, let me welcome Magister Sark as a respected interlocutor. In his words I clearly see the traces left thousands of years ago when one of his forebears hit on an upsight, and a way of expressing it that, for that moment, were true. As when the parts of a clock tick into alignment and a pin falls into a slot and something happens, a gate swings open, there's a little apert, and through it a glimpse into the next cosmos. Or, in light of recent developments, perhaps I should say a next cosmos."
As he was saying this, Paflagon looked around and made eye contact with Ernudans, Troans, Laterans, and Phothosians.
"Those who were there when that gate opened knew it for real upsight, wrote it down, made it part of their religion, which is a way of saying that they did all that was in their power to pass it on to the ones they loved. We can, on some other occasion, have a lively debate as to whether they succeeded. I regret to say that in my case, they did not."
I couldn't help looking over at Ganeliel Crade to see how he was reacting. I saw no trace of the old fuming resentment that had used to come over him when he felt that we were disrespecting his beliefs. Something had changed for him at Orathena.
"We are gathered at a place named after Fra Orlo, who was a fit of mine for a little while," Paflagon continued. "When he was only a little older than some of you,"
and here he looked at me and Ayla, then Jessery, Tullia, and the others who had come from Edhar or from the Convox,
"he spoke to me once of why he had made Eliger with my order. For he could have left the Mathic world at Apert and found a life in the Seculum, or, having decided to remain a Fra, he might just as well have joined the new circle. Orlo said that the more he knew of the complexity of the mind and the cosmos with which it was inextricably and mysteriously bound up, the more inclined he was to see it as a kind of miracle. Not in quite the same sense that our idolaters use the term, for he considered it altogether natural. He meant, rather, that the evolution of our minds from bits of inanimate matter was more beautiful and more extraordinary than any of the miracles catalogued down through the ages by the religions of our world. And so he had an instinctive skepticism of any system of thought, religious or theoretical, that pretended to encompass that miracle, and in so doing sought to draw limits around it. That's why he had chosen the path that he had. Now the coming of our friends from Ernud, Tro, Earth, and Phthos has demonstrated certain things about how the polycosm works that we had only speculated about before. We must all of us re-examine everything we know and believe in the light of these revelations. That is the work that begins here now. It is a great and gradual beginning that encompasses many smaller but no less beautiful beginnings, such as the union of Ayla and Erasmus."
I almost missed my cue, but I felt Ayla swinging around toward me. We came together, there on the rubble, and found each other. You might find it odd that a story like this one ends with a kiss, as if it were a popular spiele or a comedy acted out on a stage. But in that we started so many things in that moment, we brought to their ends many others that have been the subject matter of this account. And so here is where I draw a line across the leaf and call it the end.